What a joy it is to be back here at this church. Thank you for asking me back. I feel like I've already been paid 10 times over getting to hear that wonderful sermon from Brother Danny. We give the thanks to God for that and for the gift that the Lord has given to Brother Danny. That's a powerful message, powerfully presented. And I know you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I almost hate to say anything to detract, but I don't know any better than to do just that. I'm going to try to take a little bit of time this evening to speak to you tonight from the book of Ruth. I talked with Sister Lydia and Brother Danny and Brother James about it at the supper table. It backfired on me. I thought I was going to get Brother Danny. I said, what are you thinking about preaching on tonight? Not knowing he was going to be called on. Because I hate to be asked that question, if it's a possibility. And he said, nevertheless. And then he said, well, what about you, Brother Mike? And I said, well, probably Ruth. And I didn't have any better sense than to tell him everything I thought I knew about Ruth at the supper table. I beg an interest in your prayers. Ruth is one of those stories that for a primitive Baptist preacher, if he can't preach out of Ruth, I'd question his credentials. It's just one of those kind of writings. It's the sweetest, one of the sweetest stories, maybe the sweetest story ever told in the Bible. I think everybody knows who Ruth is. It's after the book of Judges. Some writers of old thought Ruth was just an appendix to the book of Judges. I don't know about that. But I do know this. It is a beautiful love story. And it deals with a young lady by the name of Ruth who married the son of a woman named Naomi and of a man named Elimelech. And she was a Moabitess. The tribe of Moab started with Moab, who was a son of one of the daughters of Lot. And Moab and Ammon, the two sons that were born to each to one of the two daughters, were not really good friends to the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, there were some prohibitions mentioned in God's word about Moab and Ammon. But Ruth, it's easy to say she might have been the exception to the rule. But I think the story is to tell us, at least at the very outset, that we should never judge a book by its cover. And to you old Baptists, that's important for us to remember. That when people come among us, they may be a Ruth. They may come from a place we don't like. They may be a part of a family we find disreputable. But Ruth factors into not only the genealogy of King David, but of our Lord Jesus Christ. She's an important person in the writings of the what we call the Old Testament. Four short chapters. The story as it has come down to us in inspired writ, is about a man named Elimelech, whose name means God is King, married to a woman named Naomi, her name means delightful or pleasant, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. If you look up the meaning of the names of Mahlon and Chilion, you'll find that it means one of them means sick and one means weak. And they were that, sad to say. There was a famine that came into the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. It was a terrible famine. And for whatever reason, Elimelech decided to dispose of his properties there in Bethlehem. He was from Bethlehem. And to go down to Moab, where apparently the drought had not come. And while there, their two sons needed wives, so they found wives. One was a girl named Orpah. For some reason, her name means gazelle. And then there's Ruth, whose name means friend. I forget who was married to who, doesn't matter. But Elimelech died while in Moab. One thing I want you to think while we're going through this, and I know time can get away very fast, is would Elimelech have done better if he'd stayed back home? I mean, it's easy to say no. Sometimes it's easy to say yes. You men who have to provide for your families, if things are bad, jobs are scarce, you need to provide for your family, you might be surprised at what you're willing to do. What Ruth has brought home to me is something that I think we'll see in more detail later, God being our helper, is the difference between doing right and doing good. Doing right and doing good. Think about that. Is there a difference between doing right and doing good? I think about Mary Martha. Martha was cumbered about. A lot of trouble, trials. He was cleaning the house, feeding the guests. Saw her sister Mary there sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she don't like it. And she tells Jesus, tell her to get up and help me. And Jesus said, you're, Martha, you're troubled, you're cumbered about. But Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. What Martha was doing is an example of doing the right thing. She's taking care of her guest. That's the right thing to do. But what Mary is an example of is doing the good thing. What did she do? She sat at the feet of Jesus and heard him talk. I can't think of anything gooder to do, Brother Danny. A Dannyism. She did the good thing. Coming here to church tonight is the good thing. I'd say it's the right thing. But all of you have things to do in your life. And there, some of them are, everything of them, I would say, are legitimate. And they need to be done. But sometimes we just have to not do the right thing and do the good thing. Sometimes we have to leave the field on a Friday night and come to church. That's the good thing. The good thing is always the best thing. But it's not to say the right thing is never the good thing, but sometimes the right thing isn't the good thing. And I want to point out that as we go on the story. You look at a choice that happened after Elimelech's dead. Now the two sons have dead. They've been there for 10 years. Now these little girls are no longer teenagers. They're in their 20s. And Naomi gets word that back home the drought's over. The famine's over. Time to go home, because there's nothing here for them, nothing here for her. And to an Israelite, to lose your sons was a terrible tragedy, because it meant that the name of that family was extinguished. And it was important that the male line be kept for various and sundry reasons, partly, maybe mostly, because they wanted to maintain the line back to the fathers. Well, in the first chapter, you find where Elimelech and Naomi, they went out to Moab. And as I said, we could question whether or not they should have stayed home. If they had stayed home, they would have had the drought. But guess what? The drought ended. The famine ended. If they'd have been home, I wonder this. I just wonder this. Do you wonder this? If they'd have stayed home, doesn't mean Elimelech might not have died. Might not have meant that Mahlon and Chilion died, but Naomi would have been around her people. She'd have been where her people lived. She would have been close to her near kinsmen. And we will learn about Boaz. And we're only going to talk for a little bit in the first and a little bit in the second. That's it. All we have time for. Boaz means strength. And Boaz was a kinsman of Elimelech. But he was not the near kinsman, the nearest kinsman. There was a man that was even nearer to that. I tell you, it's easy to get chasing rabbits, Brother Chris. I'll tell you what. Got to move on. It says that in the sixth verse of the first chapter, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited the people and given them bread. Isn't that interesting? The Lord had visited the people and giving them bread. Where does the Lord today visit his people and giving them bread? I think it's right here in this church. It's the church of Jesus Christ, the house of bread. This is where the bread, the spiritual bread, is to be eaten and devoured and savored and appreciated. That gives energy and life to the soul. It's not the thing about regeneration, but it's to the regenerated soul. It's life itself. And when we have the bread of life presented to us on a regular basis, we not only stay full, but we grow. We become stronger. We become better. We do more good than just right. And she heard that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Doesn't say that he visited Moab, but he visited his people. Wherever his people are, the Lord is. And when the Lord is there, there is sustenance for the hungry soul. There's water from a far country. There's food for the hungry soul. And I'm not saying that Elimelech did the wrong thing. We could say he did the right thing, but the good thing, I think, would have been to stay home. For some of us today, we know others, and maybe some of you today are considering this. I hope not, but if you are, listen to me. Don't do what you think is the right thing. Do the good thing, which is the best thing. You may find that there's better ways or easier ways to your goals in life outside the church. But I assure you, dear friends, there's no better life in this life than in the church. And if you want to be where the Lord visits, and then there's no greater blessing than to feel the presence of God in your worship service. We have our private personal worship service. I encourage you all, if you're not, you should every day read your Bible. Every day pray your prayers. Meditate upon the Word of God. See to the sick. Visit the widows and the orphans in their infirmity. But the blessings that we get from private worship pale by comparison to the blessings we get in public worship. Amen. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts in the church of Jesus Christ. And the reason why people like us can have a greater experience together than separate, it's not because we're so great, but it's the Lord that visits and visits us with bread, with His Spirit. He is the bread of life. Now, he goes on and he says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Listen to this. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Was it just Ruth that wept? No, Orpah wept too. Orpah gets a bad rap from us, I'm afraid, because she's the one that went back home. I was telling the people at the supper table tonight that if my daughter was in a situation like Orpah, and things were dire and extreme, you know what I'd want my daughter to do? Come home to Daddy. I'd want her to come back to me. And that's what Orpah did. And if I was her daddy, if she was my Caitlin, I'd weep tears of joy that she's back and I can take care of my daughter. I don't care if she's whatever age. Tell her I didn't say what her age was. It's important for some reason. But she has two kids. She's married. Married to Elder John Yadamek. Pray for them. That's all I'm going to say. But may I say, Orpah did the right thing. What Ruth did defies reason. She stayed with a woman that she had no blood ties to. She was a daughter-in-law. You think of every bad mother-in-law joke you want to. But she chose to stick with her mother-in-law. You ladies who have a mother-in-law, what would you think? Would you say, you know what, I love you so much. that I want to go where you go. I want to be with the people you want to be with. And that's what Ruth said. But Naomi convinced Orpah to go back. I don't think it was Orpah's first choice or her second choice. It was Naomi that said, what do you expect of me? I can't have children, even if they're boys, if I had them today. Would you wait for them? To marry them? Have children with them? No, go home. What? Are you crazy? Go home. That's kind of what she's saying to him. And Orpah thought about it, and she made the logical choice. And Ruth made the good choice. Her decision was based not on logic, not on what's right, but love. And decisions like this that are made out of love, pardon me if I offend you by saying this, I think the story bears it out. God hallows those decisions because God is love. And what Naomi's love wasn't some Hollywood romantic type. It was very much like God's love for us. It was a selfless, self-sacrificing, unconditional love. The famous thing that she said, it's beautiful poetry. When she finally, after hearing her mother-in-law three times, try to talk her out of it. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And if it stopped right there, we'd say, what a wonderful thing. But listen to what she says to end it. "And thy God, my God." What is implied within this is that Naomi had been teaching her two daughters-in-law about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Orpah agreed, but Ruth clave to it. Her heart was completely given to the things that Naomi was telling her. She loved Naomi. And something about the truths about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob resonated with her Moabitish heart. And she said, that's the people I want to be with, who believe in that kind of God. Don't ever underestimate the power we each are vested with to show unto others the power of our God. Amen. Brother Danny brought it out. We can't believe ourselves out of his love. We can't disobey ourselves out of our love. Shame on us if we disobey. Shame on us if we don't believe. Same on us if we believe something that's not right. But God is greater than our lack of faith and our lack of obedience. "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect?" God forbid. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Aren't you thankful for those truths? I am. And I think Ruth picked that up from Naomi. This God is the greatest thing I've ever heard about. Can you imagine what she was taught as a little girl in Moab? What kind of gods was she told about? What kind of practice of religion was she given to practice? The rites and the ceremonies that she was privy to. How shameful they must have been. But if that's all she knew, that's all she knew, right? But now, here's something better. Oh, superlatively better. Amen. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not like any other God. There is no other God besides him. He says he is God and there's none like me. I am that I am. He doesn't think like us. He doesn't behave like us. We need to try to think more like him and behave more like him. But his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are past finding out. And that God who created heaven and earth, the universe and all things therein, that God who is the God of the quick and the dead, is the God that we can say, Abba, Father, when He places His love within us. And He does that purely out of grace. What a God. Right? What a God. We are privileged to worship. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
That's what Ruth saw. And she wanted to go back to where that God was. It wasn't enough for her just to worship the God. She wanted to be back where that God was worshiped. There's something important about being, don't get me wrong, worshiping God is important. But where you worship God and with whom you worship God is very, very important. Now here's Naomi. She went out full and she came back poor. She came back with nothing. She's a bitter woman at the end of the first chapter. What a bitter woman. Do you blame her? Well, you say, well, she should know better. She knows that God. Why would she even be bitter? Why didn't she say like Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've learned never to judge somebody till I walk a mile in their shoes. I say, she had good reason to be disappointed. But you know who I never read about being disappointed or sad or frustrated? Ruth. Or you might say, well, she just didn't know any better. Don't undersell Ruth. What she did from this point on was out of love for the woman that she now saw as her true mother. And so, here's Naomi, who's a stranger in a strange land. She left rich, she comes back poor. Here's Ruth, who was at home in Moab, and now she goes back to the land of Canaan with her mother-in-law, and now she's the stranger in a strange land. But what got her what got her through it? What got her past all these things where she's a stranger in a strange land, strange customs, strange behavior, strange ways of doing things and speaking about things and doing things? You know, the church is not like anything else on this earth. It talks in a way that the world doesn't. It ought to talk in a way the world doesn't talk. It ought to believe in things the world doesn't know anything about. It ought to stand for something better than this world. It ought to be for the right and for the good.
Amen.
And now here's Ruth, little Ruth, friend Ruth, in the land of Canaan and Bethlehem. Oh, the foreshadowing is amazing, isn't it? But none of that moves her. You know why? Because of love. She loves Naomi with all her heart. And she wants to make sure she's okay. Right? I don't know of any other place better than what that mindset, that heart set of Ruth than in the church of Jesus Christ. And it ought to be for every one of us, but especially the ones who have never experienced the church. That they find that they may be a stranger in a strange land, hearing things they're not used to hearing, seeing things done that they're not used to seeing done. But the love in that group of people touches them in a way that is beyond words to describe. And it draws them in. I tell you what, I wish I could say all my technical sermons on election and predestination is what brought people into the church. But I can tell you with some of the young ladies that we've got at our church, you know what's got them to come and to stay? It's the love they've gotten from the older ladies. The care. The acceptance. And you see in this story of Ruth, where it says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. It's said that Boaz is descended from a lady named Rahab the harlot.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Where do these people come from? How do they get in the church? That's how we think, isn't it? That's how we think. But where would the story be of Jericho without Rahab? Who showed the greatest amount of faith in the story of Jericho but Rahab? Didn't James in his writing in the second chapter compare the faith of Abraham to the faith of Rahab? You ladies, you may think you don't have faith. I tell you what, you've got more faith than a lot of these brethren. I won't say any names. I've known one of them for a long time. And he's a wonderful friend of mine. I love very much. But I think I've just said that your pastor has no faith. I didn't say that. No, I did not say that. I didn't say that. If it came out that way, I apologize. But the things that attract people to the church are the members. You can't grow the church unless the membership takes ownership for their membership. Do you own your membership? Are you waiting for the pastor to do what you should be doing? Now, I can go, I'm going to get in the plane Sunday and fly away back to Texas. So I can say a few things if you let me. And as long as they're right, they're true, and they're good. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. You know what Ruth is saying? I have no idea where to go. I have no idea who I should talk to. But we need food. I love you. I want to take care of you. I have the youth and the strength to do it. Would you allow me to leave you here for a little while, and I'm going to go and find some food? But I don't know where to go. I just know there's a field out there that's full of barley. And I'm praying and I'm hoping that somebody will be nice enough to me to let me have some handfuls of purpose. I say that because it's important to note in the next few verses what is said. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. This is when the story starts getting really good. And this is where I'm going to have to close. The word hap literally means chance. Almost to the extreme point of accident. It was not her premeditated thought, I'm going to go find a man named Boaz and glean in Boaz's field. She didn't even know who Boaz was. Boaz had some knowledge of her because people had told him of how Ruth had provided great care for Naomi. But they had never met before. Also, as we will find, the day that Ruth goes, you have to know this. There wasn't fields set off by fences. There was one big field. And there were little stones that marked out which part of the field belonged to somebody. You know what those stones were called? The ancient landmarks. And you had to know where those stones were. But did Ruth know what those stones were? Did she know where those stones were? What they signified? No. She had a fork in the road moment. She could have gone to the left. She could have gone to the right. But she said, I'll just go this way and see what happens. It was said that you had to be careful which field you went into, because the owner of that portion of the field may not be disposed to being friendly towards you. He may instruct his reapers to go kick you out of the field, or worse. And it wasn't a safe place for a young woman to be, no matter how desperate she was for food. Ruth took a tremendous chance. And she could have easily done the right thing and stayed home. But she instead, out of love for her mother, did the good thing by going out to that field and trusting that somehow, some way, she would be in the field that was owned by someone who would be amenable to her being there. You know, I say that's providence, but to her, it was chance. She didn't know which way to go, so she just picked a way and she went. Now, I have to be careful in what I'm about to say, especially for you young people. But I have found in my experience something I think we see in Ruth. Sometimes you are faced with choices you don't know what to do. And there are more than one of the choices you could take. It's the lesser of evils, as we sometimes say. It's that not that one is so much better than the other. It's just that you've got to pick which one of the two you're going to do. And how do you know which way to pick? Oh, how did Ruth know which way to pick? She didn't know which was the right field. She didn't know what belonged to Boaz. All she did was, I've got to do this for my mother. I say, for you young people, never forget the power of love. Love to God, love to God's people. If you are faced with moving somewhere, you know what I think you should be thinking about? Where do God's people meet to worship?
Amen.
If you have to go to a place where God's people don't worship, how can I find a way to hear the gospel preached?
Amen.
And thank God we have ways now available to us to watch online. And may I just say to those who poo-poo that, I've never said that from the script, from the stand before. I don't know what that was. But whoever dismisses that, maybe that's a better way to put it. Never underestimate God's power to do the impossible. He can bless someone listening over the internet just about as good as anybody else listening some other way. Now, the best way for church is the right way. The good way is to be where the people meet.
Amen.
But sometimes that is just not possible. And God understands. As long as you understand where you need to be, given the opportunity. But if you don't have the opportunity to be where God's people meet, find a way to hear the gospel. Your soul needs it. And just know this, that God can bless you in the watching and in the listening in a way that you need.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just say it'll tide you over, but it's kind of that like that. He knows how to bless in ways that we can't even begin to understand. So, it says that her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. And here's where I'm going to close, because I could go on and on. When you are doing the right thing for the right reasons, it's amazing how God can bring you to the right place with the right person. Just like He did Ruth. What may have been hap for Ruth was no problem for God. God knows, God understands, God blesses, God delivers. And He delivered that young girl, Ruth, because her heart was set on serving her mother. But don't forget, moreover, that's a good word, moreover, to serve the God of her mother. And if you know the God of your sainted parents, and maybe you've gotten a little away from Him, your parents are gone, no longer there for you, but you know who will always be there? The God of your parents. If He's that God, He'll never leave you, He'll never forsake you. Thank you. God bless you.